Welcome to One More Chapter. I'm Brian Rex Davis, editor of Action Magazine, and I'll be your guide as together we rediscover ancient wisdom for today's challenges. It has been said, if intelligence is the capacity to know something, then wisdom is the ability to apply what is known to good effect. Chapter 1, The Nature of Wisdom. Our ancient text that we are going to explore in this episode is the first chapter of a book written between the 15th and 13th centuries BC. That's around 3 millennia ago in anyone's book that meets the standard of an ancient text. Now, why would we explore texts of such ancient nature if we're trying to discover wisdom for our challenges today? Well, that's the topic of today's episode as we look at the very nature of wisdom and how ancient wisdom actually has a great deal to do with our needs today and the wisdom that we can seek and apply to today's challenges. Wisdom is often found in the collective thoughts of an older generation who has lived through and navigated the challenges of their experiences. As many experiences are common to humanity, distilled sayings of wisdom can emerge that have withstood the test of time. The sayings often take the form of literary proverbs or wise sayings, sometimes as wisdom stories or as what we know as parables. There is another source, though, that has been informing mankind's pursuit of wisdom from the earliest writings known to man. This source speaks to the spiritual side of humanity, what is often referred to as religion. Religion often claims a source of wisdom that is revealed from deity, a spiritual source beyond ourselves, an objective source outside of our daily challenges, a source that can speak, actually, to what is good or not good. Personally, I do believe we have a spiritual nature, and I believe spirit exists. In other words, I believe God exists. You may not, but you can still consider wisdom from this perspective. Many today discount the spiritual side of man as being worthy for the consideration of wisdom. This reminds me of an experience I had when I was in the Far East. I was on a small island in the middle of the South China Sea. I had taken a few days break from my work. I had been teaching the Bible in India, and I took a few days off at this remote island for scuba diving. I enjoy scuba diving. Because this was such a remote location, it drew a crowd that is perhaps a crowd I wouldn't normally hang out with. And so we had some extraordinary characters there with me that week. One was a script writer for television who lived in California. Another was a television personality from the nation of Great Britain, Scotland. He arrived by helicopter. The lady from California arrived with me on the boat. And as is the nature of spending time with people in recreation, you get to know one another, know what each other does. And we were sitting at dinner one evening discussing what we had been doing lately in our different professions. And I had shared that I had been teaching Bible in India. This lady from California became very agitated with me, saying that she did not believe God was real, and she thought it was terrible that I would pollute another pristine culture with the beliefs of my culture. And she really got upset with me. The gentleman from Scotland, as he was listening to the conversation, decided to break in and make comment. And he made a comment that I think speaks a great deal to the question of the pursuit of wisdom and whether or not we will even consider the spiritual side of our humanity. He said to the lady from California, he said, "Let me make comment here." He admitted that he did not believe God existed, but considering her agitation, considering how upset she was getting, he said, if you are right and there is no God and none of the teachings about God really matter, then there's really nothing for you to get upset about because the whole situation really just doesn't matter. And then he said, concerning what this gentleman does in sharing his belief that God has shared his will to the earth, to mankind, and thus Creator God wants everybody to know what he said, if he's right, you and I are in a lot of trouble. So you can see the interesting conversations you can get into in the pursuit of wisdom. But I hope from this episode of our podcast, you're at least willing to consider the spiritual side of your humanity and the possibility that spirit exists and can inform us concerning wisdom in our pursuit of wisdom. So our ancient text is the book of Genesis. The primary author is Moses. Yes, this is the same Moses that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Specifically, we want to look at the first sentence in the first chapter of this book. Though older writings have been discovered, no text on earth claims a more ancient perspective than the book of Genesis. In fact, the very word Genesis means the beginning. In Genesis, the passage we're going to read speaks of spiritual realities before the beginning of our universe. It speaks of our creation, our origin, our very purpose. You know, science tries to get at our origins and thus make conclusions about our purpose, but science always falls just short of being able to understand where we come from and thus what our purposes are. You see, wisdom demands a wide context. That's why people of an older generation who've had a wider experience in life often provide wisdom to us and to society. Without our origin or our purpose, wisdom is actually quite hard to find. Genesis is the first book in the sacred scriptures that form the basis of both the religion of Judaism and the religion of Christianity. That means literally millions of people have trusted these writings to bring wisdom into their understanding, to bring purpose into their lives. That fascinates me, and it draws my attention to these writings as a very legitimate source for the consideration of whether this wisdom can help me in the challenges of my life. Concerning Moses, it's important to have a little bit of context as to who Moses is. Moses was an Israelite who lived in Egypt during the time the Israelites had become slaves to the nation of Egypt. Egypt at this time is at the zenith of its power. It is the most powerful military might on earth. It has the most learning, the most developed sciences on earth. And Moses lived at this time. Now, the king of Egypt, better known as Pharaoh, became fearful of the population of the Israelites living in Egypt at the time. That's why they had become slaves, but still the population grew, and he became fearful of that population. He sent out an edict to have all the male boys of the Israelites killed in order to balance the population. A very devastating act on those people. A mother who had a child named Moses, fearful of his death, put him in a basket that had been sealed against water and put him in the river and put him afloat in some desperate hope that he would be saved from the carnage that was happening around her. The Bible relates this story where one of the members of Pharaoh's family was at the river, and she found this baby in this basket, and her heart was touched. It was filled with compassion. We don't really know the backstory to this lady, but she took in Moses, and Moses became an adopted child in the very royal family of Pharaoh. And so he would have grown up with the finest education on earth, and not just an academic education. He would have grown up putting that education to use in governance, in military exercises, also in politics. And so this would be a very accomplished man. This is our author for the book of Genesis. Moses, at some point in his life, and this would have been after he had left Pharaoh's house, he had fallen into disfavor, and he actually led the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery from Egypt. That's an interesting story that we'll touch on in another episode. But as he was traveling with the children of Israel to the promised land of Israel, he composed the first five books of the Bible, what the Jews would call the Torah. In these writings, he records the very beginning of creation. Now, obviously, he would not have been around at the time, so he would be using source materials of other writings. He would have been depending heavily on the oral traditions of the Israelites, where they preserved through oral repetition the stories of the Israelite nation. But there are some things he writes about that he couldn't even have gotten from that source. He would have had to have had the information revealed to him outside of his human experience. He would have had to have God reveal these truths to him for their recording. That's the claim of the book of Genesis. Genesis is written as a narrative. So it's a series of stories and genealogies that go back to the very dawn of time. Our ancient text is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. This text reads, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The very first book of the Bible and the very first verse of that book claims that God is actually our creator. That is our origin. Science can prove that five components do make up our world today: time, force, energy, space, and matter. Isn't it interesting that all of these components are mentioned in the very first sentence of this ancient text? In the beginning, you see time there. God, force, created, energy, the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. If this ancient text can speak so eloquently and so accurately to our reality, then isn't it worth considering as a source of wisdom for our lives today? This text steers us away from certain pathways of thought. You know, not every thought is equal, and there are certain pathways that lead to dead ends or lead to places that actually harm us individually or as a society. As I was researching for this episode, I found this book, Bible History 1. It's written by Richard Rogers. He was a professor of Bible at the Sunset International Bible Institute in Lubbock, Texas, and in his first chapter, he writes this section that I'd like to share with you. He starts by saying, "The first verse of the Bible refutes the idea of the eternity of matter. What is here has not always been here. God is the only one who has always been here. In the beginning, God created. There was a beginning, but before there was a beginning, there was a God. Creation also refutes the idea of polytheism, because it says God created, not gods, plural. This verse of the Bible refutes the idea of agnosticism, which says that there was no plan. Agnosticism says that this is just a senseless globe spinning around with senseless people upon it. However, because this creation was planned, it was not without cause. This verse of the Bible refutes the idea of fatalism, which says that things happen just because they happen. It was just fate. But this is not true either, because the Bible reveals God's will, purpose, and progression expressed in creation. The first verse of the Bible refutes the idea of pantheism, which says that all things are a God and that God is all things. But actually, God existed before anything else existed. This verse refutes the popular notion of evolution. Because in 6 days God created all things, notice the order of creation here. God created the heavens and the earth, and then he created the things that live in the heavens and on the earth. On the first 3 days, he created the things that would be occupied by the things created on the second 3 days. Now, these are verses after the verse we've read in our episode today, and it's a fascinating read. And many will look at that and say, well, science refutes anything in these passages because the scientific record, the archaeological record, is absolutely clear. These things formed over billions and billions of years. Well, that would be true unless deity or God created the world in a mature form, in a form as if it had already been in existence for billions of years. And that is consistent with the Bible record and what the Bible is actually saying here in the first chapter of Genesis. So don't completely discount the wisdom that can be found here because of science. That's an important thing to note. Chapter 2. It's always good to have ways of pursuing wisdom and pursuing these ideas on a deeper basis. Our sponsors of One More Chapter provide opportunities and resources for further study free of charge with no obligation. And I wanted to mention those to you today. These resources are listed in the description below this podcast, but it includes things such as a correspondence course that is offered by our sponsor, World Bible School. This is an example of those courses. It's just a very brief course, but it's free of charge. You can register for it and receive it in paper or in a digital format. And this course, God Has Spoken, goes into the claims of the Bible of exploring whether God has actually spoken or not. If God created and he created me, would he want to communicate with me? It's a fascinating study, fascinating read, and that resource is available to you. Another one of our sponsors is called Methetis. Now, the Methetis teaching program online is video-based, and it's a program where you can study things together in a group in a social network. And so many people today like studying in that way. But these videos will introduce some of these ideas, and then there are readings that you can do together as you pursue a discussion of the wisdom that you find there. There are two courses I want to mention to you on Methetis that you might find interesting to this discussion. The first one is a quarter of series called Wondering What to Believe, and it looks at the Bible and its claims and what it says about itself. I think that's a very healthy study. The second one that might interest you starts at a little different perspective. For people who do not currently believe God exists, for people who really don't have any belief in the trustworthiness of the Bible, you may want to step back and look at something from a scientific perspective. There's a course on Methodist called God, the Ultimate Reality, where proofs and records within the scientific record actually point to the idea of God and point to the rationality of God creating the heavens and the earth. I found that a very fascinating study. It's produced by the folks at Apologetics Press, a great group. As the editor of Action Magazine, I also want to invite you to go to our site and register to receive Action Magazine. Action Magazine is produced on a quarterly basis, and you can receive it in a paper form or a digital form. And many articles that explore wisdom, the wisdom of Scripture, and what God is doing in our world are in this magazine, and I hope that's of an encouragement to you. Finally, for those interested in reading further in what Richard Rogers wrote about in Bible history, I can recommend that book heartily, and where you can find that book and other books by Richard Rogers or other authors like him, those details are listed in our description below. Chapter 3. We do very much value your comments, and we will be reading your comments and looking at your questions, and periodically what we hope to do with one more chapter is take your questions and your comments and have an entire episode dedicated to answering questions and airing your comments as we explore wisdom together. Now let's recap and preview for the next episode. We have been talking today about the very nature of wisdom and that it demands a wide context in order to bring clarity, in order to bring perspective to our challenges today. And so, we should not discount the spiritual side of our humanity or the exploration from Spirit, from God. That's a perfectly legitimate exploration for us as we look for wisdom for today's challenges. Now, looking towards our next episode, a following text in Genesis is one that we're going to want to explore further. This text in chapter 1 of Genesis demonstrates why the text of today may matter in reference to my seeking of wisdom. This text is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 that reads, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." If there is a God, and if God created me, then God becomes a very important source for wisdom. And that's what we'll look at in our next episode. I'm Brian Rex Davis, and we have been exploring wisdom from ancient texts. Until next time.